consider him once again. If you care to read along with me, just turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. It's right after 1 Kings. Chapter 6. Excuse me. We'll just read a verse and a part of a verse. Verse number 24. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. Excuse me. And besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it. Now, 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall onto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." And they rose up in the twilight to go on to the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. Excuse me. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold, and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again, and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." So they came and called on to the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, "We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied, and asses tied, and tents as they were." And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And God will bless the reading of his precious word. Carly Simon wrote, "Now you run a bookstore, and you've taken on a wife, and wear patches on your elbows, and you live an easy life. But are you finally satisfied? Is it what you were looking for? Or does it sneak up on you that there might be something more?" I wonder if you can relate to that tonight. It snuck up on me as I went from adolescence into the teenage years and early manhood. I had an uneasy feeling that maybe there's something more. And the older I got, the more convinced I became that there had to be something more to life than what I knew about life. Bob Dylan wrote these words, "Well, you've pictured quite a story, and you've changed since the womb. What happened to the real you? You've been captured, but by whom?" Now, there is something more. We have in this account four leprous men who represent this world, as we shall see. And they found something more. They found all this great blessing in the camp of the enemy. We also have the story of the besiegement of Ben-Hadad, king of the Syrians of Samaria. Captured. Everybody's held captive in there. And in this account, we find a parallel to the gospel. Simple gospel truths are found, as we shall see, as we look down this portion together. And if you're here tonight, and maybe you're in the frame of mind or state of heart that I was in, we pray that tonight you might find that something more. And that something more is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing to add to Him. We can't take anything away from Him. The Bible says we are complete. I become a complete man, a complete woman, boy or girl, when I get Christ as my Savior. Now tonight would be the night that God would have you to be saved. May this be impressed upon your mind tonight. Tomorrow's sun may never rise upon your deluded sight, someone wrote. This is the time, oh then be wise. You would be saved? Why not tonight? That's a good question to ask yourself, isn't it? Why not tonight? If you plan to get saved tomorrow, you're never going to get saved, are you? Because tomorrow never comes, does it? When tomorrow comes, it's today. And you're planning to get saved tomorrow. So you won't get saved tomorrow, because tomorrow will be today. You're getting saved tomorrow. And when tomorrow comes, it'll be today. You see how it works? And you'll just keep putting it off, and putting it off, and putting it off, and maybe one day, perhaps too late. We're delighted that you're here tonight. And we trust you'll understand solemnly from the Word of God that you are here tonight because God brought you here tonight to this room. Maybe someone invited you. Maybe you came on your own. Maybe you understand what God is interested in is not all the plans this world has. He has plans of His own. He's been carrying out those plans for 2,000 years, and those plans involve you. He wants you to be saved and to become a member, a living member of the body of Christ. That's what's going on in the world. And that's why you're here tonight. That you might tonight make this the night of nights. An evangelist was preaching in a large prison down here somewhere in the United States. I think several men were saved during the course of the gospel meeting. And one of the prisoners who was saved approached the evangelist, and he said this. You probably won't understand this, but the evangelist did understand. He didn't make any comment. He said this, tonight was what my life has been leading up to. All 39 years were events leading to just tonight. Now, if you get saved tonight, you'll say the same thing, however old you are. You'll look back in your life and you'll say, yes, I can see God's hand in my life. Day by day, loving me, keeping my heart beating, preserving me from death, preserving me from being absolutely swallowed up by sin in this world. It was God. And why tonight? God brought me to this place for the moment of my salvation, born again into God's family. May God bless you tonight as we consider again these simple gospel truths. First of all, we have a desperate situation. And it was indeed. There's a city of Samaria. They're inside. All the inhabitants are inside the city. And outside is an army, an enemy. Now, of course, the enemy is prohibiting food and drink to get inside the city. There's a great famine. There's a great famine in there. It's a desperate situation. And that is exactly the situation of this world. This world is in a desperate situation. Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. Well, Samaria and its people portray the world today and its inhabitants and the dilemma that affects everyone. Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, besieged Samaria. He is a picture of Satan, the god of this world. This world has a god, but it starts with a small g. Listen to what he's called in the scriptures. God of this world. The prince of this world. The prince of the power of the air. The devil. Satan. Serpent. Darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness. The devil, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the sphere from which he operates and directs. Every movie has a director. Somebody behind the scenes. You don't see the director. He's just giving everybody their lines. Making sure that they're dressed appropriately and doing what they're supposed to be doing in the scene. And saying their lines right. You don't see the director. He's behind the scenes. He's behind the camera. Well, so is the devil. That's how he operates. He never shows himself. He never shows his true colors. He's always behind the scenes. He's a director of this sinful world. And men and women in this sinful world. And he operates from a very high sphere. Prince of the power of the air. High places. Heavenly places. He functions in the religious realm very successfully. All the religions of the world. He likes to keep his inhabitants there. Religious. Not saved. Strangers to Christ and God's salvation. Oh, but very religious. Syria. He's the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad. And the name Syria means high land, elevated, or citadel. And he is a picture of Satan, the god of this world, in the highlands. And he works on the minds of men. The god of this world has keeps blinded the minds. If he's got your mind, of course he's got you. He's got your soul. He has your mind. And that's how he functions. He besieged Samaria. The word besieged is to fortify or to bind. And even the word Samaria, it means to hedge about, to guard, and to protect. The Lord Jesus Christ talked about Satan in this way. He's the strong man. The world is the strong man's house. And all the people in the world prior to God's great salvation dawning upon them and the reception of it, they're simply referred to as his goods. Isn't that solemn? His goods. Not God's. Not saved. Not born again. Not children of God. But actually children of the devil. And he has it fortified. Just like he had the city fortified. Everybody's inside. Why, it wasn't to keep the people from getting out, was it? It was to keep the people from getting out. The wall was put around them. I thought of the wall of Berlin. Why the wall of Berlin was put there. It wasn't to keep people from getting inside the wall. The wall was erected by the Russians to keep the people of Berlin from getting out. That was the purpose of the wall. And that is the purpose of the fortified place, this world that Satan has, is to keep the inhabitants in the world and staying there, not getting out. And tonight you're hearing of the way out. And that's Jesus Christ our Lord. Translated, spiritually lifted up out of this realm, this kingdom of darkness, this world. Lifted up and placed into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That takes place in a single moment of time. When I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we trust to make you understand that the gospel is a call to you personally. The Lord Jesus Christ is calling you tonight out of this world. Church. The word church means a called out company of people. Called out of where? Well, out of this world. Now tonight, the Lord Jesus is calling you to come out of this world, out of the darkness, the blindness, the sin of the world, and come to Him. Come to Him. And believe on Him, that's all. You must have a desire to get out. You can't stay and be saved. You can't have your sin, your pleasures, the self-life, and be saved. It doesn't work that way. The Lord Jesus Christ said, remember Lot's wife. Very simple little phrase. Remember Lot's wife. What happened to Lot's wife? God said, enough with Sodom. I'll judge it with fire. And judge it He did. He said, don't even look back, Lot. Lot came out with his family, his two daughters and his wife. Don't even look back at that place. That's a place of judgment. Lot's wife turned back. She looked, and she became a pillar of salt. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, remember Lot's wife? See, if you can't take your husband, she got her feet out. She got her feet out of Sodom, but her heart was still in Sodom. And Sodom was still in her heart. And so she perished. May God impress upon you tonight, you've got to get out. Get your heart out of the world. The majority of everybody in the world has no use for the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't. Stand up at some function and say, listening to him of praise to Jesus Christ, they'll throw you out on your ear. Stand up at some party and say, I'd like to read a little portion of Scripture from God's Word. They'll throw you out pretty quick. We don't want him in here. We have no place or room in this room for us. This is pleasure. This is the world. It's for me. And friend, if you're going to get saved, you've got to get out. Weigh it up tonight. Is it worth it? It's not worth it. And the Lord Jesus Christ is something far better than this world has to offer. As you sit right now in your sins, maybe you can't conceive of that. But consider this. Are not the Lord's people a happy people? Are they not a happy people? And we're not in the world. We're not of the world. We're in it. We live here, but we're not of the world. That's what I saw. I was hearing this message, and I was thinking, how could I be happy with all the things I like to do? I couldn't be happy living like they are. But I didn't realize I would be just as happy as them if I just trust Christ. Not just trust Him to take me to heaven. That's a foregone conclusion. If I trust Him, I'm saved. But trust Him to keep me happy all through life. He's done that for me for 27 years. He'll do it for you. You can begin a brand new journey tonight of happiness, joy, and peace in believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can. God loves you. God brought you here tonight. He wants to bless you tonight. He's not going to take anything away from you. Don't let Satan deceive you tonight. He's the one that takes and takes and finally wants to take your soul down to hell. God doesn't take anything. God gives. He's always giving. He's always blessing. It began with, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. 1 John 5:19, the whole world lieth in wickedness. The lie is a dead body in the lap of the evil one. 1 John 3:10, children of the devil. Did you know that? I didn't know that. Isn't that solemn? I thought I was a child of God. I pray our Father with God in heaven. I didn't know He wasn't my Father. In the creatorial sense only He was, but not my spiritual Father. Spiritually, Satan was my Father. Children of the devil. And He wants to keep you His. We have no idea how diabolical, how evil He is. How deceitful He is. He only has your misery in mind. You keep that in mind tonight. He only has your misery in mind. He looks at people with a sneer. If we could see his face, there'd be a sneer on his face. I've got you, I've got you, I've got you. You're my goods, you're intact. I stole the seed away as it was sown in the gospel last night. You didn't get saved. With a sneer, you didn't get saved and you're still mine. Yes, tomorrow you'll say, you'll get saved tomorrow. And that's how he works. He doesn't say no heaven, no hell. He just says no hurry. No hurry. You're only young. Your own life's ahead of you. God says, you better come now. I saw a t-shirt I was quite shocked at down in Washington. Several years ago, my daughter Amy and I were walking around the shopping mall. She went looking at some t-shirts weaving in. And this one I saw, it showed a happy, big round happy face with a smile and the whole thing. That's how Satan appears, you see. It's a happy face. Isn't the world a nice place? Oh, where is the party tonight? Oh, really? Isn't that wonderful? The parents are going away for the weekend, and it's going to be a good time all weekend. Isn't that wonderful? Big happy face. That's how he works. Well, there was his t-shirt, happy face. Had a hat on, stars and stripes on the hat. Pitchfork in one hand, and a tail coming out the other. It's all red. And has his finger pointing like this. A happy face pointing right at you. Underneath it said this, I want you to burn in hell. I was quite shocked at that. You know what he's doing? He's mocking the young people. Mocking the young people. That's what he wants. And they don't even realize it. They're so blinded by the God of this world, nobody even knows what's going on. That's what he wants. I want you to burn in hell. With a smiling face, I'll watch you drop down into that place of torment. Because that's where I want you. Now tonight, deliverance is being offered to you through this message, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world's fortified, and there is, of course, a famine in this world. It says there was a great famine in Samaria. There's a great famine in this world. There's nothing to satisfy. And I'm sure you found that out by now. It might seem that you're having your heart was full on the weekend, perhaps, or whatever, and things were going really well in your life, top of the world, and then you came down from the top of the world. Or maybe the weekend ended this Monday morning again, and you're just as empty now as you were on Friday morning, and you're looking forward to the weekend. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Men and women are fainting. They're hungry. They're thirsty. And unknown to us, do you know what we're hungering and thirsting for? Satan keeps us hidden from everybody. Psalm 143 and 6, my soul thirsteth after thee. That's what you've been thirsting for. That's what you've been longing for. That little thing I read by Carly Simon, something more? Yes, that something more is Him. We all are seeking for Him in our hearts. But Satan keeps us so well hidden. And he just tries to fill up. He fills up the emptiness temporarily. That's all. Temporarily. Psalm 42 and 1, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. That's why you haven't been happy. That's why your life hasn't seemed fulfilled. You've been panting after God, and Satan has been keeping us hidden from you. He's saying, no, take this, take this, take this, take this. And one day at a time, we have like a vacuum in our hearts, and it's God-shaped. And only God can fill that vacuum. Everything else, like putting like a round peg in a square hole, it doesn't fit. Nothing in this world fits. There'll always be a famine in the heart. Now these four leprous men, they are a fitting representation of everyone upon the earth. Excuse me. And their experience, what happened here, portrays salvation's experience. And that's the one God desires you to have tonight. There were four of them. That's not by accident. Four is the number of the earth. The earth. North, south, east, and west. Four seasons, four phases of the moon, and so on. And they teach us this, that God's salvation is a universal need. Everyone needs to be saved. Every point of the earth. And it teaches something else. That whosoever will may come. Whosoever means you. You may come tonight. Luke 13:29, and they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Whosoever will may come. You may come tonight. Don't think that you can't get saved tonight. Don't think that. Yes, you can be saved tonight. You can. Just with all your heart, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight with all your heart. Nothing to pray, nothing to say. Your feet don't have to go anywhere. Don't have to raise your hand or anything like that. In your heart of hearts, say, Lord Jesus Christ, I've had enough.
I take you as my Savior, Lord of my life.
I do. You died for my sins. I've known this all my life. But now I'm going to make it personal. I'm moving in now. My faith is being placed in you, Lord Jesus. And I want you to be the focal point in my life from here on in. I'm coming down from the throne of my heart. Yes, I am. And I want you, Lord Jesus Christ, to enthrone yourself in my heart tonight, in my life. You think He will? You think He'll do that? Friend, He will do it. He'll save you tonight. Yes, He will. He wants to save you. Right now, He's standing outside your heart's door. He's knocking through this gospel message. All He wants you to do is open the door, that's all. Say, Lord, I've had enough. I truly have had enough of this world living for me. I've had enough. So I'm turning in my heart from it to you. And it says, believe on you, and I'm saved. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you say, I'm saved. Well, could you not believe that tonight? Could you not? Why not? That's all I have to go to heaven. That's all anybody in this room has to go to heaven. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. My night was April 29th, 1980. I was in my sins sitting down. When I stood up, I was out of my sins because something happened in my heart. I said, in my heart, Lord, I do believe on you. I realize you died for me because I'm a sinner. And I meant it. Lord, I don't want my sin. I don't. My old companions, fare thee well. I will not go with you to hell. I mean, with Jesus Christ to dwell, I will go. That's all you have to do tonight. You believe on Him and God says you're saved. Take Him at His word. If you get saved, say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. The leprosy also is a picture of another solemn truth concerning ourselves. To be a leper was to be, you were like considered dead. You were separated from the rest of the people because you had leprosy, which was contagious. That's why we find these four men at the gate of the city. They couldn't go into the city. They were lepers. Leprosy is a picture of spiritual death. Our sins separate us from God. They do. Isaiah 59:2. Our iniquities separate us from God. His face is hid from us because of our iniquities. So we're spiritually dead to God. And their desperate situation portrays ours. Isaiah 17:11 sums up life in the world without Christ as Savior. The day of grief and of desperate sorrow. That's all it is. Another day of grief and of sorrow. Job 19:21. This is the place of him that knoweth not God. That's what this world is. This is the place of him, the place of her, that knoweth not God. Now, the desperate situation leads to a demanding question. Why sit we here until we die? That's a pretty logical question, isn't it? They're dying anyway. They're dying. They're at the gate. They can't go in the city. Even if there was food in there, they can't go in. They're lepers. You look out and you see the host of Samaria, evil Ben-Hadad and all his armies out there, their weapons, swords, bows and arrows and spears and what have you. So they just came to a conclusion. Look, if we just sit here, we die. So why sit here until we die? And so they decided to go. Let's go right out under the host of the Syrians. If they kill us, they kill us. What have we got to lose? We're dead anyway. We're separated anyway from society. If we sit here, we die. Now, friend, here's the solemn truth tonight. If you just sit here tonight in your sins, just sit here in your sins, unmoved, and you die in your sins, the Lord Jesus Christ said, whither I go, you cannot come. What must I do to go to hell? A lot of people think inside written a lot of terrible sins.
What must I do to go to hell? And there's the answer. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. Just sit in your life, in your sins, until you die. Just stay in your sins like everybody else in the world. And you'll die. Almost Persuaded was written by Philip Bliss, a very popular and wonderful hymn. Almost Persuaded. It was suggested he write a hymn like that after a preacher named Philip Bliss said this, or Mr. Brundage said this. He was the preacher, and somebody talked to Mr. Bliss about, let's write a hymn about that. This is what he said. He who is almost persuaded is almost saved. But to be almost saved is to be entirely lost. Isn't that solemn? Oh, I'm almost persuaded tonight. Well, you're almost there. But to be almost saved is to be entirely lost. What's the difference? You know, whether you're so close to Christ, just a step away, or whether you're 1,000 miles away, what's the difference? You're going to miss it anyway. So if you're almost persuaded, then come to Him. I read a sad story about a young lady in Scotland. She was very concerned about her soul's salvation. One night she was walking up and down the room. She couldn't even sleep. Great distress. Here's what she did to give herself some relief. She sat down and wrote in her diary. She got the diary. This is what she wrote in her diary. I had this out of a book. Next week I will attend to the salvation of my soul. Next week. There, you see, it gave her some comfort, didn't it? She had some faith and hope now. Next week, I'm going to do it next week. Not tonight, but next week. Well, she had a good night's rest. Back to sleep, slept soundly. The next day, found her back with her friends, the sin and the pleasure of the world, and so on. The day following, she was taken seriously ill. She became delirious. And a week to the day, she came out of her delirium and said this, I am 1 week too late. I'm lost. Those were her final words. Someone wrote, there is a line by us unseen that crosses every path, the hidden boundary between God's patience and His wrath. There is a time we know not when, a place we know not where, that seals the destiny of man for glory or despair. I can relate to that. The day that I got saved, that's how I felt. God spoke to me so solemnly in my heart. He showed me that I needed to be saved. I saw the happy Christians. I knew I needed Christ. I wasn't a happy man in this world. And I felt He was saying to me, Wade LeBlanc, you've been searching for the truth? That something more? I brought you to my Son. But if you want Him, you'd best take Him right now. If you don't, then go your way. I really felt that. And I think, I'm looking back, that if I had decided not to take Christ, I would be in hell tonight. Or I'd be out there just in my sins and not even convicted about my life without Christ. It's very solemn. So we would urge you to come tonight. They made an intelligent decision. They rose up in the twilight to go. They rose up. And it's a vivid picture of salvation's day in a person's life. Rise up out of my heart. Rise up to Him out of my sins. Matthew, Luke 5:28. He left all, rose up, and followed Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus sat by the highway side begging. He, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Remember the prodigal son? He was in the world. He found out the world just changes all the time. All his friends were gone. His money was gone. He had nothing. Feeding pigs. He said, I have sinned. I will arise and go. There's the intelligent decision. And that's the most important and wisest choice that one could make. And one that must be made. Notice something here. I know right now, if you're considering being saved, there's a struggle going on in your heart. Now the struggle ends. It will cease, and a blessed peace will come upon your heart tonight. The enemy will withdraw himself. Notice how the enemy withdrew himself here. When did the enemy leave? Why, at the same time they stood up. They arose up in the twilight to go. And then we read this. They arose and fled in the twilight. At the exact moment they made the decision, the struggle was over. And tonight, the moment, if you'll make this the moment of your life and trust Christ as your Savior, the enemy will no longer be troubling you. He's troubling you right now. He doesn't want to leave you. He won't leave you until you say, Lord Jesus, all-powerful one, I rise up from my sins tonight and I trust you as my Savior. He'll be gone away. God drove this enemy away. He'll leave you alone. And you will have won. Yes, you will. And the devil will have lost. And you'll no longer be his goods. And then the incredible discovery. What a discovery they made. Struggle's over. There is no enemy. There is no enemy. What did they find? Why, they found food. They found water. They found silver. They found gold. They found raiment. They went from one tent to another tent. They couldn't believe it. These four leprous men. Can we picture them? Oh, how delighted they were. Look at this. Well, the food speaks of Christ. I'm the bread of life. You'll never hunger anymore. Your heart will never be empty anymore. I'm the water of life. You won't be thirsty anymore. Gold speaks of his deity. He's now my God. My Lord, my God. Yes, he is. Silver speaks of redemption, being purchased by the blood of Christ. And that's what you'll be tonight. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And the raiment speaks of the garment of salvation and the robe of righteousness that he'll place upon you tonight. Unseen to everybody. But we'll see it in your eyes. We'll see it in your smile. And maybe we'll see it in your tears. Now, what were they doing? Why, they were hiding it. They were hiding it. This good news. You see, as Christians, we can't hide it. We can't. We made an incredible discovery. And we have an impelling desire to tell others. And hence, we have a week of gospel meetings. Hence, all the visitation that's been made. Inviting friends and family to come. We have an impelling desire. They said, we do not well. This is a day of glad tidings. Can we hold our peace? And they said, come. Go and tell. Well, we're glad you came tonight. And again tonight, the gospel is simply a presentation of God's salvation. Don't doubt your welcome. Come to him tonight. Take him at his word. That's all being saved is. Just taking him at his word. Does he love me? Well, yes, he loves me. I know he does. He says so in the Bible. Did he die for me? Well, yes, he did, actually. He died for sinners. Does he want me? Well, he said, come, come, come. How many times does he have to say it? Come to me. Come unto me. Well, then, I'm going to come to him tonight by faith. I'm going to believe on him in my heart. Lord Jesus, in my heart, I come. I come to you with all my heart. I want you to come into my heart and shut the door behind you. And he will, friend. He will. He promises he will. You think you can trust him? Just trust him tonight. May God bless you. If we can be of any help, we'd be delighted to speak with you further. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank thee for salvation, its simplicity. If by chance there's anyone here tonight and not saved, and they've been spoken to, we pray that they would not just be almost persuaded, Father, but fully persuaded. May they come to Christ, thy Son, tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for coming. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm simple. Thank you.